Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm your radio, radio show. I'm your radio, radio show.
Hello and welcome to the Niler 9 podcast. It's myself, Niler 9, and Andrea Cleary here. And we are going to be talking about some new music from Alva Reddy. What else are we talking about, Andrea?
The vice presidential debate. No?
No, we're not. We're not talking about that.
Shit, I've got all these notes, man. I stayed up all night.
Oh, no. Oh, you're on the wrong podcast again. Oh, no. We're going to be talking about new songs from Bicep and Mansur Brown. And I'm in the middle of Ireland Music Week at the moment.
You are. How's that going?
Like, in the middle of it. It's currently day three, technically. Yeah, day three. It's been great, actually. You know, here's Ireland Music Week, which happens every year, either in its previous guise as Hard Working Class Heroes, or now Ireland Music Week for the last year and this year. And it's actually been great. And it's really like, they've done a great job in terms of, you know, it's all been happening online. It's all been happening in this platform called Hop In. And it's got panels and workshops, and there's like a reception area, and you can have a chat with everybody. It's been really nice just to see everybody kind of in one place, you know, and people asking questions. The chat is very open. It's just been lovely. It's been really nice, and the panels are really good. Yeah, just had to pause there because there's chimney sweepers in the house to clean the chimney.
Chim chim chiroo.
You know, it's October, it's chimney season, and there is a lot happening in terms of fires.
I mean, we've recorded for about 10 minutes now and your doorbell has rang no fewer than three times. So it's a busy day.
Yeah, I've got I got a parcel delivered. I got some plants delivered from Potty Mouth. And there's chimney sweeps. Just happens to be. This doesn't happen when we record.
No, that's true. That's true. That is the benefit of recording in the evening. But
yeah.
It feels like evening for me because I'm about to go to bed after this recording because I didn't sleep last night.
Oh, yeah. So Andrea didn't sleep
I didn't
well
sleep
last
at all
night.
Last night. So I'm the kind of loopy, kind of feeling a bit drunk from lack of sleep feeling. So if I don't make any sense in this podcast, I do apologize, but just bear with me, listeners.
Okay. Don't worry. You'll be fine. But yeah, as I was saying, there was some good stuff happening in terms of panels. And it's been really good. The Approaching Music Media in Ireland panel is one that I've done a number of times for Ireland Music Week or Hard Working Class Heroes. But it was really good. What's interesting is, the online format actually allows for a nice two-way communication in terms of conference stuff. So Q&As can feel actually quite involved, and rather just like watching a panel. I remember being at AIM, the AIM Week, which happens in New York, went over a couple of years ago, and I saw some of the worst, some of the most depressing panels I've ever seen in my life. Just like lethargic questions that were dull. Somebody from Facebook was on a panel and just was not asked any hard questions about it. And this was the time when everyone was talking about how, you know, Facebook it was affecting the election. No hard questions asked at all anyway. And I mean, there was people asleep in the room. It was very warm. It was June, July in New York in the summer. So yeah, it was a lot, but no such problems at Ireland Music Week, thankfully. It's just been a lovely collection of people, and the showcases as well, which are on. They had a bit of an issue with the video and audio the first night, which they rebroadcast last night. It was poorly compressed, basically, but it ended up being shown again last night. And I just thought it's like they did a great job in terms of the showcase stuff. Tiny Arc were doing the filming, and all the bands were like nicely mixed, and it kind of happens. Like, do you know the way, like when you're at a festival, showcase festival like that, it basically you're running between different venues and stuff. This kind of recreated that in a way, because essentially what you're doing is you're having this, what would you call it? Like, my chimney is literally vibrating behind me.
We powered through.
Yes. What was I going to say? when you're running between music festivals, you're like, where are you going? I'm going to this. I'm going to try and catch 5 minutes of this. Because of the way it's set up, everyone is starting within 5 minutes of each other. So you're kind of, there's three different rooms and you're like running back and forth and trying to have a look at everybody. Or like, it kind of relives that idea. And it's actually been really cool. And I've been really impressed by certain, obviously, Denise killed it. Denise Chyla killed it. C-Matt as well. They were on within 5 minutes of each other.
The power of that. Good God.
Yeah. It was unfair. But everyone's basically given 15 minutes to play. Sailor de Vida Mai was great. I thought, who else did I really enjoy? Last night, Pow Pig and Kinsey were on. Strange Boy, the Limerick MC, he had like a trad group with him, and he did a trad thing. It was cool. Really interesting, like a rap and trad thing. Totally did not expect that. And Rachel Lavelle, of course, as well. And my boy Skinner, who I managed, was playing as well. So I really enjoyed that. So tonight is Thursday. There's the last night. We've got the likes of Anamika. Merle's on, Hazy Haze, God Knows, Nilo, Ifanessa Francis and Nisha Rue. So there's loads of stuff happening tonight. So more of that. So it's been really great. It's kind of leads me into one of my reasons to be cheerful. I think like that just music in general this week has been one of my reasons to be cheerful. You know, even in the passing of, not that it like would mean a lot to me personally, but like Eddie Van Halen passed away this week. But even just a lot of people sharing stories about him and all that kind of stuff, even like him playing the Beat It guitar riff,
which I didn't
like
know.
That,
I didn't know that story until people shared it.
Yeah, I mean, my housemate Sean is a sound engineer and producer, and he said he was talking about how he, when he was young, he would spend hours and hours trying to learn that, and it nearly killed him. Like, it's just ridiculous. And how I was reading some of that kind of stuff this week about how he changed the song completely while Michael Jackson was out of the studio. And then I saw a couple of other stories about Eddie Van Halen, how apparently when he got his hip replaced, he stayed awake throughout the operation to help the doctor fill the hole. So, and then there's the other famous story about like the rock excess and the kind of like rider stuff with the no brown M&Ms.
I love that. I absolutely love that. That's so funny.
Yeah. And I think it is a true thing. And I think when you realize, maybe it wasn't that obvious like 10 or 15 years ago when you heard that story, it was like, oh, they're such like, oh, you know, divas that they don't want any brown M&Ms. But actually, as it was later explained, and it's quite obvious to a lot of people, it was a litmus test to see if venues could be trusted to handle the band's demanding performances. David Lee Roth told NPR, if I came backstage having been one of the architects of this lighting and stage design, and I saw brown M&Ms on the catering table, then I guarantee the promoter had not read the contract writer, and we would have to do a serious line check.
I mean, it's such a clever litmus test. And he, like, while I'm not like a huge fan of his music or anything. He was one of those kind of larger than life rock characters, like even beyond music, just such a character. And you hear all of these kinds of different stories. And yeah, it's very sad. He was only 65.
Apparently he'd been suffering from a cancer.
It's quite sad. So, and, it was nice to kind of have a week where people are just kind of sharing those stories outside of, you know, obviously people posting like favorite songs and stuff, but just kind of gas things that he did. I like that. Yeah, that's exactly. Cool. He did seem like an absolute gas lad. So, I mean, I didn't know that about him helping the doctors drill into his hip, but that's pretty fucking rock and roll. Like, that's pretty cool.
I don't know why. He must have, did he not trust doctors?
I don't know. The doctor had some brown M&Ms on the table, so he didn't trust him.
Yeah. funny, you know, I was watching The Sopranos recently. As you know, I've been rewatching it. I'm on season 6 at the moment, and there's been some famous musicians in it. Obviously, Steve Van Zandt is in it. But who was in it recently? Another famous guitarist. It wasn't Eddie Van Halen, was it? So David Lee Roth was on Sopranos once playing a card game. I think he was just a fan by the sound of it.
As himself or playing a character?
Playing himself in this card game.
There you go.
And he was a bandmate of Eddie Van Halen, so maybe think of that. I don't know why, how it happened, but maybe there you go. So what else has been happening? One of the things that made me cheerful, sorry, I'm just gonna offload
this,
on you here.
This
Andrea,
is so fine.
Obviously one of my favorite bands is the Beastie Boys, and Ad Rock from the band. Did you see this Rolling Stone greatest album list from last week?
Yeah.
Week before? They did it at 500 greatest albums or something. Well, as part of the process, they asked people to submit artists and critics in industry to submit a list of their favorite albums. And of course, being the mischievous type, even though he's what, in his 50s now, A-Rock did actually submit a list that includes a lot of albums that just don't exist. He just like made stuff up. So he had albums from, amongst the real albums from the likes of Maccabee, and Phil Collins was in there.
Quite right.
He had fake albums from artists like Sergeant Crikey, album titles like Slip Into Something More Fantastical and Flutes Aplenty, Bus Station Situation by Pops Willard.
Bus Station Situation.
Woodpeckers from Space by The Video Kids.
The Video Kids is a fantastic name for a band, like a kind of an
I'm
80s
sure there is a band
synth
called
band
Kids.
Or something.
I had to be corrected this week because Ladies and Lords, The Modway is another one. I had to be corrected this week because I actually thought there was a band in it called Ultimate Spinach, and I was like, ah, that's gas. And then somebody sent me an email that was like, they're actually a real band.
I think I've heard of that band before. I think we might have mentioned that band on this podcast, Niall. Yeah.
Really?
I think so because I remember you saying that's a very silly name.
It is a very silly name.
But that's all right. I don't mind that.
Yes, me neither. Me neither. So what's your reason to be cheerful? Oh, he also had an piss take kind of Irish album by Aileen McCullough on Urid Sin Bosti's in there. I'm like, what?
Love that.
That's kind of random. And I had to like check it wasn't a real thing just in case he has some obscure record. But it doesn't seem okay.
My reason to be cheerful is a very short clip that Roisin Murphy posted on her Twitter.
Can we play it?
Yeah. I mean, only you can answer that question. You produce this podcast.
Okay,
I say yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, Niall can make that happen. So to set the scene, she's reclined on a chair in an amazing outfit, like a very kind of low cut shirt, like open shirt. I think smoking something that isn't just tobacco. And is just sort of
slowly swaying
her shoulders and just being the coolest person that's ever lived. It's very short, but just like...
I'll play the audio, sure.
Yeah, you've never seen a woman vibe quite like this.
It only shows that you're strong.
Giving
yourself to me. How could you ever be wrong?
just having fun. That's Rosie Murphy. Did you see her on Graham Norton this week?
I didn't. No. I've got it on the list to watch.
Yeah, it's good. It's nice to see her again.
Did he interview her as well, or was she just performing?
Briefly interviewed her. Yes. Okay. Yes, she was briefly interviewed.
Sky News called her British today.
Oh, did they? Mm. Of course they did. Well, I mean, in fairness, she's been there since she's 15.
Yeah.
And that's a tougher one.
It is.
And it's an easier one.
It is.
You know, that's understandable in a way. Not that I'm excusing it, but yeah.
It's sort of the way that like Annie Mac gets it a lot, because like she lives and works in Britain for like a really long time. But still, no. Don't take her away from us.
Still no. Well, as I shared with you today, the album Roisin Machine, which we reviewed last week, arrived in the post today, and I bought it the pre-order, which came with a little zine, some blue vinyl. It was supposed to be a signed picture of her. Not that I'm mad about it, but it doesn't. It just has her name on it.
I'm furious for you.
And a lovely T-shirt, which I'm wearing right now.
Oh, give us a look.
There it is.
Oh, very nice.
Machine. It's got a lovely back on it as well.
Lovely.
So yeah, great.
Do you have a blazer on? It.
No, I just have a...
Oh, it's a hoodie. Oh, just when you... Just, when
it's
you
not even... It's an unhooded hoodie. It's just a...
Ooh, a cardigan, one might say.
Except for more casual, actually.
Cash card.
Yeah. It's my house cardigan.
Lovely.
Everyone should have a house cardigan.
I have a house cardigan. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I have many house cardigans. All cardigans are house cardigans in 2020, though. So
that is why there's two men downstairs cleaning the chimney, because it's getting into spooky season, and I want to light a fire.
Cardigan season.
And can't light a fire if you can't, you know.
If you don't have a clean chimney.
Fire and don't.
Do you reckon he's going to find like a bird or something in the chimney or a nest?
Hope not. We'll find out live on the podcast if there's anything.
Stay tuned. Anything
untoward with the chimney. So stay tuned for that.
Chimney updates.
Stay tuned for the chimney updates. Yeah. And generally speaking, my other reason to be cheerful really is just music in general, as I kind of mentioned there. Mm. I have listened and discovered a lot of new music in the last week and a half, and it's just given me a lot of joy. We're going to play some of it tonight or today. There is some, obviously Denise Chyla had a new mixtape out last week.
Yeah.
But beyond that, like, and Rosie Murphy, and I just listen to a lot of new stuff, a lot of different varying stuff. Have you heard of Keely Forsight before?
No.
Really interesting artist on the Leaf label in the UK. Very dark and brooding. Very interesting album out this year called Debris. I've just heard a song that came out after it called Photograph. I wrote about it today. It's very good, and I think you'd like it.
Okay.
Same with, you know, Anna B. Savage. Are you familiar with Anna B. Savage?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, very intense, kind of similar kind of vein to that as well.
Sweet.
But then there's also the stuff like Purity Ring doing a cover of Better Off Alone.
Yeah, I felt
by Alice DJ.
I felt really weird about that. Honestly, I was listening to my to my Discover Weekly, and you know that kind of like slow atmospheric fade in, and then I just heard like do 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 do, and I was like, "What is this?" It's very strange. It's really weird. I listened to it. I was like, "This is grand," and then I went and listened to the Alice DJ track, which I probably haven't heard in my ears in about 15 years or something.
Oh, I think I heard some DJ set somewhere.
It is,
I was like,
such a bop. What a bop.
Nice. Yeah, so I guess it's time for our album of the week this week. It is from Alva Reddy, and it's a long-awaited debut album from Alva. I think 3 years in the making. In the meantime, I mean, she's been around a number of years, probably 2015, 2016 is when I start writing about her, kind of more folky singer-songwriter when she started out. And this album, Personal History, 10 tracks, all made together with Tommy McLaughlin in Attica Studios, and also Erland Cooper as well worked on it. And all seem to be made in Donegal all together. So recorded last year and released this year. So what song would you like to hear from it to start us off, to give you a good impression of Personal History?
I'd say go with Looking Happy.
Looking Happy, yeah. It is. Here we go. Looking Happy by Alfred.
You see me, I have
Okay, so I've had chimney sweeps here for the last 25 minutes to look at the... So I got it. I wanted to use the chimney. Turns out there was about 10 bags of soot in there. Aww. And the guys were like, you can't use that because if it goes, if you use it the way it is, it's all cracked. The heart is all cracked and it could go into the rooms. And they were like, you could, you shouldn't even be, there's so much soot up there. We couldn't even put the thing up at first. So essentially, yeah, dangerous, apparently.
I'm very sorry to hear that. You were so excited about using the chimney.
Well, now it needs to be sealed or fixed. So there we go. That was what that live.
Live chimney updates.
What is my life? What's happening? What am I talking about chimneys on a podcast for? Ridiculous. Sorry. Okay. That was Ava Ready. Song was called Looking Happy.
Yep.
And yes, we will now discuss it in greater detail.
Let's do that.
So this album has been 3 years in the making, as I said. In the middle of writing this album, Ava took some time out to study psychotherapy for a year during the making of the record. And reflecting on the impact that has had on the album, on our songwriting, Ava said, I realized while recording that I had subconsciously included a lot of clinical terms in my lyrics, words like ego, true intimacy, personal history, self-improvement, the themes of understanding my fear of a need for relationships with others, my frustration with myself, my journey with self-acceptance. So she said she was diving into the world of psychotherapy and attachment theory a lot. Different things that shape a person would ultimately affect their relationship with you. So every track on the album is talking about a relationship with another person, and the final track is about my relationship with myself. So the title Personal History felt right. So that's the kind of overview of the album as a whole, I guess. In the past, you know, this is a record that's about relationships, it's about coming out, it's about mental health, and that kind of glues it all together. Generally speaking, there's two kind of sounds at play here. More one of the kind of more folky singer-songwriter one that we may have been used to with Ava Ready before this album campaign, and then the kind of more upbeat, kind of more jangly indie pop stuff that is happening on tracks like that you heard there, Looking Happy, and Between Your Teeth and stuff like that. So, Andrea, were you a fan and were you looking forward to this in advance?
Yeah, big fan. Was very much looking forward to it. It's an album that has had a bit of buzz around it, which is nice. And when Looking Happy came out, that cemented me as somebody who was very, very excited to hear the kind of the full play. And yeah, I think like you said, you know, those concepts that she's introducing, like it is an album that takes a concept and runs quite well with it. Like self-analysis is arguably present in all songwriting, but I think she strikes a really nice balance between the personal and the clinical on this. And it does sound like somebody, like a psychotherapy student, self-analyzing and the kind of feedback loop that you might get into when you undertake something like that. But I mean, it's also an album about self-reflection and failure and loyalty and moving through a period of intense change and growth, like namely your 20s. But of course, it can be any time in a person's life. It reminded me, actually listening to it, of a time in my life around my mid-20s when I got really, really into self-improvement books and just like reading like all of these, like not quite like Chicken Soup for the Soul, but those kind of like how to be happy and how to be a happier person and all that kind of stuff, and agonizing about, you know, the feeling that you need to sort everything out like right now, like right this minute. And I think that there is a bit of that on this album, the kind of the intensity and immediacy of feeling like you need to sort everything out, and then, you know, stepping back and analyzing that and realizing that it's actually a long, quite difficult process, no matter how many pop psychology tricks that you try to employ, like you can't actually shortcut it. So I think she does that really, really well and really quite subtly as well. And then, yeah, in terms of the sound.
That's an idea that's come up a lot recently. And I think, you know, the stark difference between your 20s and your 30s when it comes to like dealing with those kind of things and the way you're kind of, yeah, you're like, you know, self-help pop culture kind of books that is the kind of thing you'd delve into when you're younger. Mm. And then when you get a bit older and you're like, oh, it actually gets harder.
Yeah.
You know, things get harder to deal with. And you have to go deeper when you're older to kind of interrogate those things that you maybe weren't interrogating on a deeper level when you're in your 20s.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case for a lot of people. Like, I mean, your 20s, speaking as someone who is about to leave their 20s literally next month, it like just kind of reflecting on that. And I mean, in tandem with listening to this album, reflecting on that and just kind of looking at how much time I wasted like reading those books and trying to like do the quick fixes. And I think that it is, it's definitely a symptom of millennials as well, where we are kind of maybe the first generation who are speaking openly about mental health. And I mean, on this album, she's got lyrics about going on meds and coming off meds. And it is so kind of seamless in that conversation that you forget that we haven't always talked this way. And it's nice to hear those things kind of being brought up quite starkly. But it is an album that does feel very 20s focused. And I think that it does a really, really good job of that kind of really intense, turbulent period that goes by way quicker than you actually think it's going to.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is a good snapshot of your 20s in that way. And then, you know, also, you know, the very personal journey of coming out queer in that as well is a backdrop on this as well. You know, what are your highlights here? What things are standing out to you here?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there is those kind of two main sounds. I think again, there's a great balance here between that more full band sound, and the more kind of guitar and vocal focused folk sound. She's very comfortable in both, and she sounds good in both. Like the radio friendly kind of sound of Looking Happy, which is a standout track that is like causically examining time that you spend cyber stalking your ex and feeling shit about yourself while scrolling through social media, where your contemporaries are like presenting their best lives and you're feeling terribly about your own, and delving into jealousy and the idea that sometimes you just like she says, just turn it off. And it's like, It's not a vapid thing, you know. It's an actual real problem in this generation of people. So I think that that's a really, really good song that examines that. But then, and also, Between Your Teeth is like another pop infused indie track that I think evokes the likes of maybe like Julia Jacklin, and then in her vocals is a little bit of like Dolores O'Riordan. And I love the guitar line that runs through that track as well. But then as well as that, there are these kind of slower, more introspective, maybe more down-tempo songs that I think she works really well through. It is quite dynamic, even production-wise. Like her vocals kind of swing from being quite close and personal to moving through quite a lot of space. Life Without You is quite spacious and allows her vocals to kind of come through in a much more stripped back kind of way. And then Personal History, which the title track, is for me another standout. I think it's like how it sounds is quite interesting, because I think it does blend those two sides of the album quite well. Like it does start off quite low tempo and intimate, and then it kind of punches through with this quite anthemic, like Pillow Queens-esque like final third, where her vocals are really taking a turn from like from something more gentle, almost conversational in the first two thirds, to this absolute belter of a tune. So I think it was a really good decision production wise to kind of blend those two sonic elements of the album on the title track. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
What about you? What are your highlights?
Well, I think Lookin' Happy is up there. I think when it came out, it really surprised me and how jaunty it was and how like very measured it was in its sprightliness. And I think it's a song that we can all relate to as well, as we've discussed on this podcast before, with, you know, social media and people showing their best lives and all that kind of stuff, especially in relationships when, you know, you move on from something and people are only showing the best parts of what they're going through. And the same with everybody. Mm. Like that's how social media works. And, you know, it's been improving a bit, because there's certainly people in my circle who, you know, don't always share those parts. And but are sharing the harder parts, but eloquently as well. And I think it is important. But yeah, certainly in that kind of flashpoint of an ex who's moved on, you can't help but feel like a bit strange or a bit like, oh, just throw your phone to see. Which, Andrea, is something you've been doing recently. You've been you're off almost every platform other than
I am.
Twitter.
Yeah, the only thing I've got left is Twitter. Yeah, I am. I have removed myself from Instagram kind of by accident. I thought I was just deactivating it temporarily, but I actually deleted it. So I can't ever get it back. I can't get my username back or any of my photos.
How did it feel?
But you know
what?
I'm just, you know, I tried to log in again and I was like, I had this really weird moment, and like, it probably sounds stupid, but I'm sure people can relate to it. Like, had this moment of like, oh my God, it's gone. It's gone. All my followers, as if I'd loads, like all my followers, all my photos, all my stories. Oh my God. And then I was like, but like, no one's died. Like, it's fine. People know how to reach me. Like, the people, you know, if somebody needs to reach me, I still have a Twitter. Like, my email's out there for people to find. You know, I still exist in the world without my Instagram. But it was a kind of a moment of panic. And then I had to kind of step back from that and examine that and be like, well, you haven't deleted a part of yourself. Mm. You've just deleted
a
projection of myself that is probably not even very representative either, because like, I had started to just kind of use Instagram to post like things I'd written and work I was getting and stuff. And then after a while I reckon, you know, the way sometimes like the song Looking Happy, it's like, someone will post something, be like, oh, I just, you know, signed this book deal, or I've just had this amazing new work opportunity. And it's like this horrible feeling where you're just like, well, why do they have this opportunity? And it's awful. And I hate that. I hate that things make me feel that way. And then I was starting to get to the stage where I was like, do other people feel that way every time I post something? And then just like this weird feedback loop thing. So now that that's gone, it's just one other, like, it's one less stress. And I'm just like, yeah, it's gone. I'm not engaging with it anymore. I'm still on Twitter.
That's arguably the worst of all the platforms.
It is the worst of all the platforms. But like, as a journalist, it's the one that you kind of need to have the most, which does suck. But I don't go on it very often. I've been on it a bit the past few days, promoting my new newsletter. I'll tell you all about that at the end of the podcast. But yeah, like, I think Looking Happy is a really interesting kind of case study of those feelings, of the kind of the jealousy, and then the kind of how you turn inward on yourself for feeling that jealousy and realizing that actually that's not you and it's not them and it's all fake and it's basically a video game to see who wins at the best life event or something. It's very, very odd, but the song really does like sum it up really, really well. And I'm glad somebody said it in music, because it's a topic I've been thinking about kind of nonstop for a while now. So yeah, when I heard that song, I was like, yeah, because it does go beyond the idea of, you know, just like having a bit of a stalk of your ex or whatever. It's just, it's the whole thing, you know? Sorry, that was a bit of an aside.
No, that's fine. I mean, it's relevant. That's social music media. Prompting conversation and...
Exactly, yeah.
That's what it's for. Yeah. There's the last song, Self-Improvement, was a surprise for me. I like that a lot. Very much about, you know, as the title suggests, addressing the self. And one of the lyrics, I spent my 20s trying to accept me. I think vulnerabilities don't make me weak. And I really like the musical journey this took and it kind of maybe one of the only truly surprising moments on the album in terms of arrangements and production, where it goes. There's a kind of a synth journey on this track before it hits into a kind of big rocky outro, which, you know, isn't something that ABBA was associated with previously, and I like the contrast there, and I think it works really well for the most part. Yeah, I think there's some really strong songs here. Self-Improvement would be there, Time Difference, Personal History, Between Your Teeth, opening track, Failing as well, which kind of encapsulates the album very much. Like, she turns the line, trying my best to make this make sense of this, but I'm failing, into a kind of a jaunty sing-along kind of indie guitar pop, which is always nice. I struggle a bit with Walk Away and Life Without You. I don't know if they're that memorable. I've listened to them a number of times now and they're just not really sticking with me much. I'd imagine they'd be nice reprieves in a live set if those things ever happen again. Overall, I think, you know, this is another strong album that was released from an Irish artist this year. And
another strong debut.
And following after her arch nemesis, Pillow Queens.
Of course. When will those girls figure things out?
I don't know. I mean, they are appearing in each other's videos. You know, I don't know.
Oh,
when is this going to end? We need to bring them together.
I think we should bring them together.
Sort them out. Right, we'll do that then.
In the red
We've
corner.
We've decided now.
In the
we'll
blue
do.
Corner.
Yes, we'll sort them out. Great.
Yeah. Just on those two tracks that that you were saying, Walk Away and Life Without You, is it?
Yes.
I do think that those, maybe on the first couple of listens, I didn't connect with them as readily as the rest of them, because I think I was just so excited to hear the kind of the band sound. But the more I listen to the album, the more I think that those tracks are a really good showcase of her vocals, and kind of the more pared back arrangements that she's doing on it. And I feel like maybe if you took them off, it might be a bit, it might be a little bit one-sided.
Yeah, I totally get it. Currently saying at the moment, they haven't landed with me to the point where I could even tell you what they sound like.
I'm totally with you on Self-Improvement though. I think that's a fantastic closer. Like, I think it does hit on that kind of, like we were saying earlier, you know, like the maybe in your 20s, you're focusing on kind of quick fixes and stuff. Whereas this is taking a turn more towards a kind of holistic idea of self-improvement and putting the work in and accepting your vulnerability and asking for help and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's quite a comforting note to end the album on like that, after all of this self-reflection and breakups and getting back togethers and just all like meds and all the stuff that you're going through, that, you know, you can grow through it. And I think, again, like Personal History, it starts quite intimate with those vocal harmonies kind of swirling around a very gentle guitar strumming, but then the kick in of that distorted guitars and drums for another anthemic final third in the closer is such a great sound for her. And I think it would sound fantastic live. It reminded me a bit of the closing track on Soccer Mommy's album from earlier this year.
Right.
If you can believe that was this year.
Listen, I can't believe anything, you know, anymore.
Stop. I mean, not quite in its size, because obviously that Soccer Mommy one was like huge and brought in like a load of different vocalists and stuff, but just kind of in the way that it wrapped up all of these kind of themes very neatly and very nicely. I think she's done a fantastic job on this album. I really do.
Cool. Yeah, great. I think it's a really solid debut. I think what's been interesting about this is to see Alva kind of go between different styles and maybe not quite sure where she's going to land with it, and then landing in a in a sort of a place that she feels like she belongs. And horrible thing, maybe a horrible thing to say, maybe an annoying thing to say, maybe not horrible, but like, I'm really looking forward to what's next. And that sucks when somebody spent 3 years on something. But that's kind of where I feel, because I think sometimes a debut album, you have to get to that point in order to move on. And once you do that, then you're freer to make what's next, and what's next can be much more open and more obvious to the artist sometimes as well. So, also side note, another Pillar Queens connection, their manager plays the drums on this album. James Byrne, who also plays with Soak. So yeah, look, I don't know, lads, you need to sort this out.
Just need them to sort these.
Okay.
Just before we end on this album, I do recommend the No Encore interview with Alva that Dave Hanratty did, where he goes through each of the songs track by track with her. It's a fantastic listen. She's so charming and so lovely. He's done a great job on that. I love those kind of in-depth track by track things.
Yeah.
So really happy that the No Encore lads are doing that. And the Pillow Queens one is great as well. So highly recommend those. Cool.
All right. Already, album's called Personal History. Here's the title track.
So I'll earn enough to pay rent. I'll grow up and always make the bed. Take care of my own head. Let's fall into routine. The romance of watching TV. Hearing your broken sleep. Feeling the warmth of
Okay, that was Alva Reddy. Album is called Personal History. Up next, it is Songs of the Week. We're going to start with a song from Kinsey, who played our music week this week. This is called Happiness Isn't a Fixed State.
Last week, somebody took the agony that they keep and threw it on the words that I speak.
Kinsey, song is called Happiness Isn't a Fixed State. Andrea, this is your choice.
Yeah, so Kinsey is an Irish 23-year-old, Ciara Lindsay. She released a track called Cold Blue Light earlier in the year, but this was the first track of hers that I heard, the Happiness Isn't a Fixed State. And it really made me pay attention. It's like this full-on indie rock banger. Guitars are straight from Room on Fire era Strokes, really wry vocals. And I think as singles go, this is like seriously promising work from such a young artist. And it's one of my favorite Irish songs of the year. I absolutely love it. It's so completely up my street. It might as well just park there forever. And it's really nice to hear these kinds of guitar tones sound really fresh again. Yeah, this really took me by surprise, but I love it. I really, really love it. So she's definitely going to be one I'm going to be looking out for in 2021. I don't know what her plans are with releases and stuff. But
yeah,
I really
I'd say there's
a
collection of singles on the way in the next while. They played Ireland Music Week last night. Broadcast last night. Yeah, it was good. It was a really good show. Good band. And I saw Kinsey play with Skinner maybe last November. It was early days then. I think it's much tighter now and musically more memorable at the moment. So that's great. Always nice to see.
Is Kinsey just her or is it a band?
I mean, she's in the photos, but I'm not sure if the band are any more than session players or if they're hired hands, whatever.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I think it's basically her. I think Steve Lindsay might be her dad.
Yeah.
Who works in publishing. Okay. All right.
But yeah, I really love this. I think she's set up like her style feels very like fresh and now, while also, you know, she's clearly got some good influences. Like she's clearly wearing them on her sleeve as well.
And good influences, you mean?
I mean the Strokes. And you know, like if the 23-year-olds are listening to the Strokes, I'm all about that, you know.
Well, oh, listen, I don't know if you saw the song I posted by this Newry artist called Lauren Ann yesterday, but you should check it out because it's like Pixies and is mentioned, and it's really grungy but in a really cool like poppy way. Very cool. She's only 18. Lauren Ann is her name.
Class. So
check that out. Okay, up next is Staying Up North. It is Bicep or Back. They have an album out in January called Isles. This is a song called Apricots. Andrea has her hands in the air and I'm pausing the song. That was Bicep.
I tell you, in my sleep deprived state, I think I transcended somewhere there.
It's that kind of music for me.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about Bicep. It's at once euphoric and forlorn and very emotive. And there's been a mixed reaction in my friend group to this song. I love it, but I'm not surprised. I'm yearning for transportive music that will take me to places that I cannot go, and that's where I'm at the moment. And actually, my other song this week is kind of similar in that way. It's been taking me places. Apricots is from a new album called Isles, which is out in January on Ninja Tune. The vocals, the samples there are from a Malawian singers recorded in 1958 and a 1950s performance by the Bulgarian State Radio and Television Female Vocal Choir.
Oh, I had a feeling it was them. Yeah.
Yeah, you know them well. So yeah, that's what those samples are. I think it's in the way that many other Bicep songs are. Devastatingly simple in its production, and also really effective. And this just makes me want to hear it in the open air somewhere late night, which isn't going to happen for a long time. So allow me to dream, Andrea.
I will. I can't sum it up better than euphoric and forlorn. I think that's perfect to describe it. I really like it.
Yeah, I really like listening to Bicep. I think they're really good at making mechanical music that also moves the mind.
Mm.
So there we are. That's my review. Okay, your choice next is from Jimmy Stack featuring Bon Iver. This is Genie. Okay, Jimmy Stack featuring Bon Iver. Andrea, tell me more.
I just heard this and really liked it. I really like hearing Justin Vernon being used well, you know, like, because his vocals are
being
so
used.
You know, but I mean, like, his vocals are so recognizable instantly that, you know, and he does do a lot of kind of, he has sampled a lot and he does do a lot of appearances on other people's tracks. But I just think this is an example of somebody collaborating with him quite well. I don't know Jimmy Stack. I don't know if I should know him, but apparently he's apparently worked with lots of people that I like. He's worked with Bon Iver, Empress Of, Perfume Genius, Rostam, Charlie XCX, and other people.
There you go. Yeah. I think he most recently co-produced and co-wrote the song, the Bon Iver song AUATC, which I can't remember. Is it what it stands for right now, which features Springsteen and Jenny Lewis.
Yeah.
So he produced that. So I think this is a tit for tat. So yeah, this is from a forthcoming album called Ephemera. Never sure why artists would call their album Ephemera. It doesn't really inspire confidence. But anyway,
have you seen the guest list for this album?
I have. Yeah, Empress Of, just a song that was previously released. Octavian, Bareface from Brockhampton's on it. Mm. Casey Hill as well. Yeah, it's
be interesting.
Tracks,
yeah,
so be interested to see what that sounds like. Yeah, I'm familiar with Jimmy Stack in terms of like some of the older electronic productions he had over the last, like, he's been around a good while. His last album came out in 2014. So, and every now and again something pops up from him that I like.
I really like this.
There's a real Peter Gabriel vibes off this.
Yeah.
Vibes off this. Yeah.
Yeah, there is. I really like it. I think it's like the more upbeat version of I Need a Forest Fire. Just like, just good, yeah. Good collaboration, you know?
Kind of similar to the stuff that Justin had done with Francis and the Lights. And he did stuff with Francis and the Lights, that kind of like very 80s textured,
yeah,
big drum style.
I think that suits him really well, actually. I think it sounds great because, I mean, the last thing we heard from Justin was the Taylor Swift album, or song on the album. So it's nice to hear something a bit more kind of, a bit bigger and a bit more bombastic from him. It's nice.
when it's not a Taylor Swift, but almost every other artist, it seems to be, there must be some kind of, he must have in his contract that he has to be able to do vocal processing.
Yes.
Of some kind.
Very chopped up kind of vocals as well. Yeah.
Yeah. He seems to like that a lot. Mm. Right, that is Jimmy Stack and Bon Iver. The song is called Genie. This song is a personal choice for me. It is from Mansur Brown and it is called Serene. So Mansur Brown is an artist that I've written about very little this year, and that's kind of why I wanted to include him, but I've also been listening to him quite a lot. And the whole vibe with him is I heard him on Benji B's show, radio show, which is a show I'm trying to listen to a lot, and I would recommend for anyone who likes rap and electronic and house and dance music, and all sorts of stuff. It's always really interesting. So Mansur Brown is a 21-year-old UK guitarist who is doing something unique in the way that he's blending these kind of guitar licks and guitar sounds with kind of trap style beats and kind of ambient music. So in a way, it kind of reminds me of the early Flying Lotus stuff, because it has that kind of transportive element to take you places. And it's just that really nice, like, it's almost background music in a way. It's just like lovely scene setting music. I find it quite relaxing. And I but in a way that kind of engages me and not isn't just purely background. And this is from an EP that came out earlier this year. And I've just been really enjoying Mansur Brown all year, since maybe a lot of the lockdown stuff. He had an album in 2018. This is a 3-track EP. There's not that much music, but he also plays with a lot of people, UK jazz stuff. So, but I really like what I'm hearing here. And I've played this a lot. And actually, shout out to Mango, who I heard play a Mansur Brown song on his new radio show that he's doing on SoundCloud.
Been enjoying that.
The name of, but he did play that a Mansur Brown song. So that was also like, yes, somebody else is cool and listen to this as well. That's cool. So I've been enjoying that. It's always nice. Well. So that is it from our Tracks of the Week this week. What else has been going on? Have you listened to anything else this week?
Listened to anything else this week? No, I've actually just been kind of playing that Alvaretti album. Sorry, I forgot the word for album there.
Easily done.
It's taking its toll now. Yeah, mostly just that. I've been putting together some playlists. Might as well plug it now. I have a new newsletter.
Do it.
On Substack. You can go and subscribe to it. You can subscribe to it for free, or you can buy me a pint every month. There'll be, I suppose, some special things for people who buy me pints. And thank you to everybody who's signed up for so far. But it'll be basically a fortnightly-ish playlist and some writing around that playlist, whether it's a personal essay or a review or whatever it might be. It's basically I've never been good at keeping diaries, but I've realized that I've actually been keeping diaries for about 5 years in the form of monthly playlists. So it's my way of writing about that. So
yeah, you had a nice introductory piece to it all and what that is all about. So yeah, do check that out. Is there a link you can really remember? Or just
yeah, if you go to my Twitter, it's on my Twitter, but I think it's either substack.com/AndreaCleary or AndreaCleary at Substack. So something like that. Go to my Twitter. At @AndreaCleary_, and it's there, and yeah, you can sign up, and I'd have just a bit of fun, just something nice, something from me to you in your inbox. No pressure.
Very good.
Yeah,
that's
nice. I'm really bad at selling the things that I do, but here we are.
So you've only started it as well. Yes. So you know, join Andrea, get in early on this journey.
Get in early. Yeah, you want to say that you were there from the start when this is adapted by Netflix for a movie. So yeah, so I've been listening to my first playlist that I made was just kind of 10 songs that have been kind of important to me throughout my life or throughout the kind of the past few years, and just been listening to those songs, you know, some Paul Simon, some Father John Misty, some Big Thief, just been kind of going through them. And I'm working at the moment on my big autumn playlist, which will be the next post that I put out, and listening to really nice autumnal songs for that. And I think the playlist is a bit of a banger, actually. So look out for that in about 2 weeks or so. I'm sure I'll mention it on the podcast when it's happening.
Great. Speaking of playlists, I shared my one, the Roisin Murphy one, on the patreon.com/909, and thank you for all the people who are continuing to sign up, which is great to see, and supporting us in our hour of need, which is very important.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I did some rejigging on the homepage this week as well to make it look a bit cleaner and clearer. So that's been happening. You know, things are happening in the background.
Good.
I feel like the fog of the last 6 months has lifted a bit, and I feel a bit more proactive and productive in general. And things
I reorganized my desk, and I can't tell you what it's done for me. Like, it's...
You should look at me getting plants in, because I'm like,
I hung up some prints. Like, it's good. This time of year is good. It's like... I always think September, October is like kind of New Year for me, because I think I still run on the academic year. I still think of the 1st of September as like New Year. So, but yeah, have you been watching or reading anything?
Listen, as we discussed last week, the only thing I've been watching is Bake Off, and I went back and watched the first season that's available on all four. So I have the final to watch tonight or tomorrow.
Who's in that one?
Steve. And Stacey just got kicked out.
Oh, yes, I remember now. Yeah,
Kate and Sophie, those three.
Did you watch this week's episode?
I did.
Yeah, I was very upset about the person that left. I mean, I think it was the right decision, but I was a big fan of that person. I won't say who it is in case people haven't seen it yet. But I was a big fan of that person from episode one. But, you know, it was the right decision.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And look, if you're not, if you need something to watch that's like light and fluffy, like a sponge cake, then you can watch The Great British Bake Off.
And I mean, that leads nicely into something that I've been watching, which is back at the moment. So UK Gogglebox is back. Irish Gogglebox is back. I watched it last night. And there are 4 seasons of UK Gogglebox that have been uploaded to Netflix. So... last night when I was in my fugue state of back pain and just awake all night with a hot water bottle on my shoulder, I just made tea and I popped on an episode of Gogglebox on Netflix. I think it's from, like, Theresa May is still prime minister. It's very, like, all the new stuff is very Brexit. They're watching The Bodyguard. So it must be about 2 years ago now or so. It's just so nice. It's like the easiest television you'll ever watch. It's like, because you're not even really watching television. You're obviously watching other people watch television. So it just feels like you're one step removed from having to deal with like the drama or conflict of actual television shows, if you're not quite in
that
state.
Have they ever done a, a Gogglebox where people watch Gogglebox?
No, they
people watching Gogglebox.
They haven't, no. But that's my Inception. That's my idea for my Twitch stream. but I love Gogglebox. I absolutely love it. It's brilliant. There's a couple on it called Giles and Mary. And I don't know if like a YouTube compilation of them exists. I must look and see. And if there is one, I'll send it to you to put in the show notes. But they are the funniest people.
There must be.
I think there must be.
I know of their reputation.
Yeah, they're brilliant. Yeah. Mary is, I think, a vicar. Giles, her husband, and they're just so funny. They're so, so funny. But yeah, like I watched about 5 episodes last night while I was trying to get to sleep and just kind of dozing in and out, and it was actually quite nice. The other thing I watched oh my god, I watched Emily in Paris. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I've seen some issues
Niall watched the whole thing, obviously, because I'm trash and it's trash, so a match made in heaven.
You watch Selling Sunset, so
exactly,
you know.
Like sometimes you just need to be angry
at
the TV.
I'm not judging it, really. I'm not judging it.
But basically, so I started watching it because I saw a load of people on Twitter being like, this is the worst program I've ever seen. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. I can't stop watching it, which is the only elevator pitch I ever need to watch some bad television. So it's, what's her name? Who's the actress that plays her? Oh my God. I find it now. Basically, she's an American girl who...
Lily Collins
plays Emily, the titular Emily, who is a marketing person, like very low in her career. And she gets sent away to Paris for a year after a bit of a mix-up, and she doesn't speak French. And that's kind of a running thing throughout it where, like, obviously there's this thing. It's like you don't go to Paris unless you're able to at least, you know, say bonjour without saying like bonjour, which is fully what she does. And yeah, she just kind of, she's sort of an influencer, sort of a marketing person. She has this like Instagram account that she gets those followers on, but then that thread is abandoned entirely. Everyone in Paris is in love with her, except the people that she works for who hate her. It's just garbage. Like, it's awful. But and the worst part about it is she's in Paris, and the absolute audacity of some of the outfits that she wears in Paris. Like, she is dressed terribly, and I think she's supposed to be dressed like really well and really like forward looking. Awful, terrible. But there's a beautiful French man in it, who looks like Armie Hammer, a French Armie Hammer. So I stuck around for that.
I saw you talking about his neck today.
Yeah. It's a good neck.
Armie Hammer's neck.
It's a good neck. yeah, this guy looks like French Armie Hammer. He's very beautiful. But like, even all the love story threads that run through it are just awful. But like, I can't express this well enough. Like, it's very fun to watch. Like, it's just garbage. It's like, I mean, I'm a person who watched like 3 seasons of Degrassi First Class, and like, most people will not know what that is, and people that do know what it is will be like, Andrea, why? Come on. But yeah, I watched all of that, and yeah, it was fun, I guess. And I watch any films? Don't think so. Oh, I watched the new David. What'd you watch?
Go on, finish what you're going to say.
Oh, I watched the new David Attenborough documentary on Netflix.
With the music by Dave.
Oh, it's music by Dave.
Yeah, there you go.
It's very sad. Yeah. Mr. Attenborough is not happy with us.
No.
And you just have to sit down and listen to him. But it's brilliant. It's really kind of inspiring, and makes you want to do some stuff to do with the climate. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Nice. I watched something the complete opposite of that. I also watched trash in a way, but 80s trash, so it's sort of different. Weekend at Bernie's.
I've never seen Weekend at Bernie's.
I think I'm realizing that a lot of 80s films these days, when you watch them, are just so slow and the dialogue is so bad that like it just like takes forever to get to a point, that an actual plot, and you're like, what is going on? And you just give up. Yeah, it is dated pretty badly, and also very...
As in, like, is it problematic? Or
it's problematic in the way that, like, how comfortable they are with, you know, haranguing a dead guy around the Hamptons for their own gain.
Okay.
All of a sudden, and how comfortable they are with his death.
Yeah.
Really. That's it's slapstick. It's pure slapstick. But yeah, it's also like, if you pitched it another way with different music, it would be totally dark and really like these guys, these up and coming 80s businessmen in New York, want the girls and they want whatever and they will not kill to get it, but they use a dead man to do whatever they get. Like, there's a part
a bit like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, you know, that Steve Martin film. Like,
yeah, so I haven't seen that since that time as well. And it's one of those, it's just one of those things where you're like, so when you're young and you're watching a film about a dead guy and how they're like basically using him as a dummy, you're like, this is gas. And now you're a bit older, you're like,
this is really dark.
Yeah, it's fairly fucking dark. You can't suspend the disbelief of it anymore.
Yeah, but I suppose Weekend at Bernie's is one of those films, kind of like Groundhog Day, where it's just sort of become its own separate thing. Like, if someone is like, oh, just do a Weekend at Bernie's thing, you know exactly what people are talking about, sort of thing.
And they made a Weekend at Bernie's 2, which is even more incredible considering the guy died in the first one. So I was like, how did they dug him up?
Still dead. They didn't, did they?
Yeah, they dug him up somewhere to like do some rituals on him somewhere, which is probably very problematic. But that seems to be the plot point.
Jesus Christ. To
ascertain where he left some sort of riches, they dig him up and perform some rituals on him. So that's part of the plot in the second one, apparently.
A fun romp for all the family. Yikes, exactly. Yeah, I don't think I've been watching much else beyond those things. I probably have, I always forget. Do you know what I watched actually? A film called Election with what's her name? Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, you've never seen an Election? Oh, it's brilliant.
I'd never seen it before. Harry and I were flicking through Sky, and he was like, have you ever seen this? And like the cover of it looks really like my kind of film, like a kind of a teen, silly teen comedy starring a very young Reese Witherspoon. I was like, yeah, absolutely, I watched that. And it was so funny. Oh my God. I absolutely loved it. I actually think, maybe after Legally Blonde, or no, maybe above Legally Blonde, it's probably her best performance. Like, it's
brilliant.
So
she's so brilliant in it.
She's hilarious. Yeah. And what's his name from
yeah.
Oh.
Married to Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
Matthew Broderick.
Matthew Broderick, yes. Yeah. Who was a controversial character in himself. But he's, oh my God, that film does not treat him well. Good God. It's brilliant. No. It's so, so good. Like, they just destroy him by the end of it. It's brilliant. Yeah. If anyone out there hasn't seen Election, absolutely watch it. It's very dark, kind of black humor, but like brilliant. Just such a good kind of interweaving of narratives. The guy from American Pie, who plays the like really like earnest, like, oh my God, I love you so much, we're gonna get married guy. He's in it. He's brilliant in it. He's the guy who breaks his leg and has to like run for the student election.
Is she called Stacy in it? Is that what she's called? No. Maybe. Is that the character's name?
I can't remember now. Anyway, it's so good. I'd never even heard of it before.
Really?
Yeah.
And I remember at the start, I watched it not too long ago, and the title screen is like MTV. It's an MTV film.
Yeah.
You're like, weird. When did that happen?
Mad. Absolutely mad. But yeah, highly recommend that. It's brilliant. It's really, really funny.
1999, I think that film was.
Wow.
Very, very good. Very good. All right. I think that's all for most this week. Patreon.com/909 for exclusive content and Substack. You can tell me the address again, Andrea.
I think substack.com/AndreaCleary. Let's make sure that that's right. For playlists and writing and other things.
Thoughts.
Do you know what? It'll be in the show notes.
Yeah.
Go and have a look
there. Okay. Great. That is it from us this week. We are going to finish with a song from a guy called James Eager, who has his, works under the moniker Jeeg. This is one of the tracks that was featured in our 15 Irish Tracks of the Week. And I thought I'd include it here because I feel like more people should hear it. It's a nice, fun track. James Eager, producer and engineer for Lancome, Royal Yellow and Enemies in the past. Basically was making a load of music. Hard drive was wiped by water damage and restarted everything all over again. And rebuilt the music from memory. And this is one of the results of it. It is called The Brett. And it's cool. And it's a good one. And we'll be back next week.
Bye.
So thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, Niall.
Thank you, Niall. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.